Joined now by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. And Jim, the OTAs have kicked off. The Browns have their third workout scheduled for tomorrow. And a lot of things are jumping out at me. Starts with offense. In the sense of these receivers and this receiving core changing its whole look and its whole dynamic with one player, and that player primarily being Devon Best. I just see these past 2 days in workouts what he can mean to this team as a guy getting open from that slot position, right, running really good routes and very explosive and just very dependable. And I think that's the key thing that the Browns, this offense, has sorely needed.
I totally agree with you, because I think they've had, it's been like a Band-Aid in that slot position, and they've had people that have gone in there, but nobody's actually won the position and given you reason to say that's the guy that can really find that little hole, that little pocket of openness out there against the defense, and come up with a play that's going to yield you a first down or big runs after the catch and yards after the catch. I mean, Jordan Norwood could do it a little bit, but not enough. I mean, you know, he would get injured, but he showed some potential to be able to do that. Greg Little, I thought in his rookie year anyway, Vic, had some problems with it, and I think seemed to be better suited at times outside, out wider than that. So I think if Best can come in there on two streams, number one, to be able to win that position and really give the Browns offense something that they need, that slot receiver that can give them those tough little downs and distances where you get that play from an experienced receiver. He can find the open area, make the catch. And the other thing then is maturity. I think that, you know, and I'm not saying that the Browns receivers have been immature, but I just think they have lacked a little bit of a gray beard that can come in there and help them and say, hey, listen, this happened to me when I came into the league. This is how you get through this. This is how you get through a bad training camp practice, a bad preseason game, or a bad regular season game. I think they've lacked that.
And that matters for sure, as long as the guy can play and contribute.
Yeah.
But yes, that matters to have that kind of person in the room and on the field. And here's the other part that I wasn't considering until I heard Brandon Wheaton talk about it on this show yesterday. He talked about how Bess has been an influence on him as a veteran, in the sense that when they talk away from the field, away from the meeting room, basically sitting in the hot tub is how he described it, when they're usually the first two to arrive to the facility, and he says Bess is the one starting up the conversation about football, about X's and O's. And for a quarterback, it's a little different to hear someone other than a fellow quarterback go into that sort of rap. And I think that, and he says he's learning from the veteran a veteran receiver helping the quarterback. So this is bigger than him just helping the Josh Gordons and the Greg Littles.
Yeah, because you're talking to a guy that's a pro. I mean, he said this is his job. His job as a professional football player who happens to be an NFL wide receiver, and he wants to be successful at his job. To a lot of these young guys from the Browns, and we know that this roster is filled with a lot of young guys, it's still new being in the NFL, off a college campus, now playing on Sundays rather than Saturdays, right, and now getting a paycheck and dealing with the whole scope of being a pro. And I think it takes a little bit of time to come in and be a pro. I mean, yeah, there are guys that are, you know, instantaneously very serious about things and take it on as a job. But I think the normal curve is that it takes a little bit of time, and that's the other thing that you need, and that's the thing that a Devon Best can help out. And over on the defense, they're going to need that type of guy too that can help them out, because they just are so young.
There's no doubt. And the receiving core as a whole, I mean, I mentioned Josh Gordon. Jim, when you see him out there, you're going to be so impressed, the physical specimen that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think just through this conditioning program of the last 7 weeks, which is when it began, working with Brad Roll, the strength and conditioning coach for the Browns, you see a guy, and just a guy who came here so unprepared to be an NFL player last July. Now that he has worked out, I'm sure, on his own, and then combined with what he's done over these last nearly 2 months, you see a different guy physically. You see someone with that physique that is very close to what you, I think, envision with a Terrell Owens.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of physical specimen, which is impressive. I'm not saying he's that guy as a player yet, but he certainly looks the part. And then on the field, athletically, he's doing some things that jump out at you. Those extraordinary things to make catches with long arms and leaping ability, and when he's well covered, just still able to get that separation to the ball. And I think this is so huge to, see his strides and what are those strides that he's making, if he, how much more he knows about what he's doing. This is an offense that will challenge receivers because there's a lot going on, Jim. It's a very aggressive attack.
Well, I thought it would be, he would be one of the most interesting guys to take a look at, and what kind of jump would there be between Josh Gordon last year and Josh Gordon into his second year. And he's got a very unique ability because the thing he's got is that he's just got this flow to his game, and on the other end of that flow is a set of great hands that, I mean, you know, a lot of young wide receivers and veteran wide receivers would love to have. I mean, he's just got a very soft approach to catching the football. That ball is not bouncing off his shoulder pads a lot. I mean, it sticks to his hands, and he corrals that thing in, and he's just got that. That's the given. But I think, you know, last year where we would see him, you know, Vic, and understandably so, hunched over, you know, heaving to try and get breath because he was not in football shape, because this was, you know, really ready, set, go, get into the NFL right away. He had days rather than months. And, you know, it was tough for him to learn on the fly. Everybody was farther ahead of him by the time he got in. Once he really got adjusted, though, then you kind of said to yourself, boy, when he's able to put a true off season together and then get ready, and now we're there, it will be very interesting. I'm very interested to see him.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And sticking with the receivers, Travis Benjamin, another guy who jumps out at you. I think he's moving with a swagger. You see a sense of him that, okay, I'm not just the return guy who occasionally plays receiver. I'm going to make plays. And I think Devon Bess has probably done a little something to challenge him as well, because he sees the veteran working in that slot position. He's the younger guy. He's going into his second year. He wants a piece of that action too. And you see him running routes pretty precisely. You see him showing really good confidence. And I'll go a step further. I think maybe for a player like that, the absence of a guy like Josh Cribbs now might be a good thing.
Well,
right, that it doesn't surprise, because, I mean, he knew that was the defining return man. Now I have to be the defining return guy, but I also can have a chance to make a mark as a receiver.
Absolutely. You know, there was a point last year, and Doug and I, you know, really detailed it, and there were different games, and again, he grew as the season went along, but there were different games last year, Vic, where he could find that pocket. You know, we looked at him as just a speed guy to get up, get out there on the outside, fly by the defender, and go down there, let Whedon hang the ball out, and let him run underneath it. And indeed, there were a couple of plays like that. I mean, he did it against Buffalo, you know, as the Browns tried to come back, and of course, we knew him of his speed in the return game too. But there were a couple of games later in the year where he really became that possession, find the open area guy, and presented himself well. And of course, you know, then, you know, you've got to get him down on first contact, because if he can get out of it and then he can generate, he can go. I was very surprised when he showed up late in the season running those kind of routes. So to see him grow in that area will be, you know, a big help. Let's just say this. That group, that wide receiver group, has truly grown from what it was here 2 years ago.
Oh,
I mean, it has really grown from what it was 2 years ago. When Greg Little came here as a kid that had not played that year in college, and the group that the Browns were trying to put together, I mean, there was just, you know, there was a long way to go. So in 2 years' time now, they have really built that up. And suddenly it becomes very, very interesting, much more so now when you add a quarterback that can get the ball out there.
And I'm glad you went there, because the thing that impressed me as much as anything about Brandon Whedon, and watching him work in this offense is impressive, along with Jason Campbell, because there's a lot of urgency. You hear Rob Chudzinski, and something else Brandon talked about, Rob Chudzinski saying, let's get it out, let's get the pace going, let's pick up the tempo, and Norv Turner also urging the same type of thing. But on top of that, hearing Whedon basically say, hey, look, you can't look over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. I mean, expressing a level of confidence that I like to see. This still is very much is a competition. I'll go along with that. I haven't heard anything of different than that. But he's taking those first-team reps so far in these OTAs, and he basically wants to, I think, make clear he's not going out there as this anxious, concerned guy who might lose his job. He's saying, my attitude is, this is going to be my job, and I'm going to keep this job. And he talks about Campbell as much more of a mentor than a competitor.
That's the way Brandon needs to approach it. I mean, he's got to go out there, and, you know, he just cannot dwell on every throw. I mean, in practice and in games and things like that, he's got to make plays now, and he's got to realize that there are going to be bumps. There were bumps last year, but he had kind of a season ticket for that last year. I mean, they really wanted him to play, and it was more or less, we're going to live with it every game. We're going to live with it every play. We're going to live with it every series. I think this year now, I mean, it's time now to go out and take over the position, not win it as much as just take the position over, and I think he's going to get tremendous coaching from guys that really know how to get it done with that position, with the quarterback position, and with young quarterbacks, too, to make them better and make them real NFL quarterbacks. So it's all there for him. He should be excited about what's in front of him and not nervous and not, you know, quizzical about what's going on behind him.
And he got into footwork and how important it is to his accuracy, to a quarterback's accuracy, to have proper footwork. And that speaks specifically, you know, to what Rob Chudzinski, North Turner are telling him on a regular basis. They're getting into the need for his footwork to be precise and right for him to make accurate throws. So,
you know, there are a lot of times, Vic, a guy with a big arm, they rely on that arm and they let the footwork go because they say, hey, I can get it there, you know, just with this thing attached to my right shoulder.
So they've gotten into his head, which I think is encouraging along with the talk. And again, he's got to show it. I mean, he's got to deliver and show it on the field. And when you think about what a quarterback can mean to this team, if everything else that we're talking about, the receiving core, you know what Trent Richardson's about as a running back, if the line is, say, mostly solid, it may not be great or overpowering, but say solid at multiple positions, then it's really down to, you could say, okay, if that group could get you close to or just below 500, the quarterback might be another couple of wins himself.
Yeah, because there are games where it comes down to that position. Some people say the quarterback, you know, they get too much credit when the team wins and they get too much criticism when the team loses. But really, if you break down games, and even in a 4-12, 5-11 year, okay, and we've had enough of those. I mean, we've had enough of those. but even in those years, you can break those games down week by week, and usually that quarterback has a point in the game where the game rests in a decision, in a throw, in the execution of a play.
And I think there's something to be said about the differences in these practices now with the Browns offense facing a Browns defense that is far more aggressive and attack-oriented, that has Ray Horton's scheming and all the variations of looks from that front seven, versus what they saw before from Dick Geron, which I think was a defense that was much more in a reactionary mode, right?
Yeah, right.
Most of the time was read-react. And I think that is a good way to prep. If you've got to look at that every day, it would stand to reason that on Sunday you aren't necessarily going to see something you can't think you can handle.
No, absolutely, because you do see it on Sunday. I mean, people come at you now on Sunday. I mean, that's the way you play defense. I mean, some teams can get away with that, but really the really good teams, I mean, they're up in your face and they're on you, and you've got to be prepared for that. And if there is a shock value to that on Sundays, then, you know, sometimes it's too late by the time you recover. You're already behind enough so that you've turned it over, or you've gone three and out, and you haven't done anything, and you've lost the field position game, and you have to be able to answer that. And so if you see it, like you say, every day, I mean, it's a good thing for them.
Now, the other thing is, again, spots that we're going to look at, we're going to pay close attention to how this thing does shake out at receiver. But as far as spots that are really on the line, and I think safety is one that's going to command a lot of attention. And is this where Tashaun Gibson in year two, how far he has come from this undrafted free agent to be signed, to come out of nowhere and now make his mark? And is he capable of doing that? Because the opportunity is there. You look at Eric Hag, you look at maybe some other options. You know, you realistically don't see Jamora Slaughter as one right now because he's got to come back from that Achilles thing. And I just think that can take him out of the running if he's not able to do anything until, say, training camp. Because these are meaningful periods of work right now between now and through June.
It is there for Gibson. At this time last year, it was there for Eric Hag. I mean, everybody thought Eric Hag was going to be the guy, that he would push Osama Young out of the way, and Young was constantly kind of battling the nicks and bumps and bruises and missing time. And so it is there for him. Now, I thought that he was very good last year. He caught my eye all the time whether it was practice and then certainly in the preseason, which is what got him on the roster. And then when he got into games, I thought that he handled himself very well. And I like him. And, you know, you want to like him and you want to see him succeed because it's a very, very important position for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they must be able to come up with an answer there. There were a lot of people that probably thought that they were going to draft there earlier than they finally did, but they didn't. And there must have been a comfort level with what they had.
I think there is a comfort level with what they had, and I really sense a comfort level in the coaching. I mean, I think that's where overall the hierarchy of this team, Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, definitely feel the coaching staff can make up for what might be lacking in the way of new faces to fill spots.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, heck of a staff for a first-time head coach to be able to put that together. So it will be fun watching them put it all together. But, you know, good luck to Tashaun Gibson. I've always, in the 1 year that I watched him, I really enjoyed watching him play. I thought he got better. I never thought that he looked awed or in awe of it, you know, of the play out on the field. So I'm very anxious to see him play and really hopeful that T.J. Ward can stay on the field.
Yeah.
You know, for
stay healthy. Jim, thank you.
Good to be with you again, Vic.
The voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.